Open your Bibles to 21st chapter of Revelation, and it's amazing how the Lord kind of has caused our hearts to be still in these few verses that we've just kind of been in. And it's, I'll tell you what, there's some trees in the forest that we really need to take notice of, because there's beauty beyond as we're beginning to see a little bit more the layers that the Lord continues to bring us down in. But I'm getting a little more overwhelmed in that new city, Jerusalem. And I am grateful to God to know that the focal point of that city is the glory for Him, and that's His wife. I thank the Lord that that's the place that's being offered to us right now. But I'm so excited about the family of God. I thank the Lord that we were and have been speaking about the walls of the city and the gates of the city and the foundation of the city. And again, how beautiful the Lord so sweetly brings out that all of that structure is Israel. And again, to think that how God chose to bring forth the word of God to men was through Israel. God began dealing with Israel. God's chosen people were Israel, and that's it. You know, and I always recall, and it was so sweet, that Jewish man that the Lord used mightily in many things of my life for many years, Mr. Schimmel. And he was a sweet man in many ways, but I always remember him saying, he said, you know, I'm around a lot of people, I have a lot of friends and even some family, they don't believe God exists and all of this kind of thing. He said, well, until they can tell me about Israel and the hatred of Israel in any other way, I'm going to believe it's God. And I always was excited about that, and thanking the Lord, it just that sweet witness of the love of God for Israel. But He brought the word of God through Israel to man. And even though that Israel turned away, and we can see that that turning has been a very rebellious turning for many centuries, but God will turn their hearts back to Him. And I thank God that that unfaithful wife will be faithful. And I thank the Lord that we saw that when the glory comes into the city, that glory is going to come through Israel, in a sense, back into the Lord to be received. And it's just so beautiful how His love never fails. And I pray that you would take that into your own life, brothers and sisters, that, you know, God's word is true. And as we rejoiced on Sunday, He never leaves you nor forsakes you. I thank God that the story of that prodigal reigns so true in my heart, that the Father is waiting just for the return. He's not waiting for an apology. He's not waiting for His speech. All He's waiting for is that one step back, and that one step back puts Him right back into the kingdom. And as far as that fellowship, that love's never left, and that Father is just waiting for that fellowship. You think about all of the things that are there, the coat, the ring, the kiss, all of that, that embrace. But then that He's even prepared the people that have the heart of God with that feast that's ready to just come forth for that prodigal that was, again, deceived. And all of us have been there at one time or another. And maybe somebody's there tonight that is, again, just been out there and, again, listening to the lies of the enemy. But yet God's love never fails. And God's love is always there, and we know that. And no matter how far we try to get away, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. So praise God. And what a revelation, and what a again testimony of this, as He brings us here with Israel again, this heavenly Jerusalem that descends having the glory of God at this time. This is after the tribulation, this is after the millennium, and now we're going into the eternal ages, as the word of God says, in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness to us. Praise be to God. So here we are. But we rejoice in this because the Father's love, remember, God the Father, His wife is Israel. Just as His Son is, again, a bride is coming forth out of this age for His Son. The Father's wife is Israel. And that unfaithful wife will be faithful again. And we're thankful to this. And how prominently, I was thinking, his wife will be prominently displayed in a sense as well too, as the structure of the city. That glory is going to be so immense throughout all of the family of God. It's going to be amazing. Whether it's going to be in New Jerusalem or whether it's going to be on that new earth, let me tell you something, it's all going to glorify him. And it's going to be mighty, and it's going to be a wonderful, amazing time that will never end. But that's where we're going to turn our attention back to again tonight, is the eternal city. Now think of this. Abraham said he sought and would seek that continuing city whose builder and maker is God. This is the city we're speaking of. This, again, he just wanted to behold it. This is the city that is made with the saints of God. This is the city of his eternal glory. And tonight we're going to go on into more of this precious vision and these wonders of this city, New Jerusalem. I'd like to begin tonight, though, in John 14:2. You think, now wait a second. How do we go to John 14:2 talking about New Jerusalem? Well, let's see how we get there in John 14:2. As Jesus tells his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Now, I thank God how many times this verse has touched my heart and touched so many lives, how personal this is, that, and the thought that the Lord is preparing a place for us. Preparing our mansion in the sky, as we've heard from time to time. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. There's always far more to see in the Word of God than even on the surface, which is just incredible. But the revelations go very deep. The Lord drew me to this verse again, and when he starts to do that and really bring something out to hone it in, was that word prepare. He goes to prepare a place. Well, that prepare has many wonderful meanings, but there's a depth of the meaning here of prepare. And in the Greek, that word prepare and what it was meant for was that when kings would go out to take their journeys, they would send the ones that would make the way safe, that would make sure the roads were right, and making sure it was all clear of enemy and different things, so that the king could make the journey. Think about what he's preparing for us kings to make that journey. Amen? Now, let's understand this. As children of the king, we know that we are right now seated in the heavens in Christ. But we're talking about, brothers and sisters, a place that has been offered to us, praise God, especially in the depth of this meaning, is that the wife hath made herself ready. There's a preparing that's going on, is there not? And that preparing, praise God, is in those that will make up the city. That's what the beautiful part of this is. And I just love that because you know what the Lord has sent us to get ready? The Holy Ghost. He's the one that takes the things of Christ and makes them ours. Do you know one of the great things that he takes of Christ and makes yours? Suffering. When you're really, the Bible calls it the gifts of due benevolence. That's the suffering that he gives to you to believe him and trust him for. And to take that, see, when you see things through truth and the word of God, you're more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you. Amen? But when we have these things in our life and we're not looking through the word of God at them, we're defeated just as quickly, are we not? And it's true. And isn't that just how amazing it is? Faith is immediate. Faith is immediate in seeing, praise God, the truth of the Word of God. It's not something that takes time. Well, I'm going to think about this and mull this over. You can think about it and mull it over till, you know, as they say, you're turning up daisies or something. But faith is immediate. You believe the Word of God and it comes in. And it's peace that passes all understanding. We know that. It's a peace, praise God, that's not just a peace. It's his very peace that he gives to us. And the same peace that there was complete obedience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the Father. That obedience of just trusting the Father. And I thank God. That's That's the obedience that the Lord is truly encouraging us in our life. Believe me, honeys. Believe me. Don't be looking at all of these things that are going on. Believe my word. So, again, he has done everything for us. Done so much for us. The calling of us is for king, is to be the king. Amen? To be kings, as the word of God says. But brothers and sisters, we're born kings. Yes, we are. And it tells us that in Galatians 4:1. That's the definition of a little lord of all. You are born a king. I appreciated that so much the other night in Brother Scott's class. The truth of what our predestination is. The adoption in Christ. I was so thankful to God that I'd heard that long time ago. But I'd forgotten. And that's why we need to be encouraged and reminded over and over in the Word of God. That word adoption. Over there in Ephesians 1, what did I write down here? Ephesians 1:5, that's from the same word, huios. Remember, huios is the mature son of God? It's that. See, the Lord saw us in Christ, in ages past. But he didn't see us there as babies. He saw us there as that complete fullness, the stature, the measure of Christ. That, as it says, the perfect man, that complete man. That wonderful man that Paul, when he was taken up into the third heaven, he saw the vision of what Christ in him, the hope of glory, would be. And he said, I glory in that man. I glory in that man. But what happened did he say before he got to that point of I glory in that man? He said, and I glory in my infirmity. Amen? Because he knew it was through that weakness that the power of Christ would rest upon his life to bring that grace and that confidence, praise God, that I am his workmanship. That, praise God, that the Lord has given. I was thanking the Lord. I don't know if it was today or yesterday talking to Mom. I said, I'm thanking him for this camel. The camel that we ride, that's our flesh. Amen. I can't ride your camel. You can't ride mine. I got my camel. And this camel is perfect. It's the only thing that's going to take me to the husband. It's the only thing. And praise God, it's not getting this a camel to be obedient in the sense of the obedience of, oh, he's got to be this perfect one and, you know, he's got to be perfect in every manner and way. No, it's perfect in faith and believing God that even in my mistakes, even in my shortcomings, even when I believe not, I'm just confessing of myself. I know this ain't you. But even when I believe not, he abides faithful. Amen? Praise the Lord. I was glorying the other day. Lord, there's things I wouldn't like going on from time to time in my life. But however you're increasing your truth and grace and love of the truth in my life, I want to sit down and shut up. Amen? And quit complaining. And believing you, Lord, that word will change my life from glory to glory. Jesse ain't going to change his life. And you will not change your life. You think you can, but you cannot. I appreciated my son expressing something today. Dad, it's just like a dog right to his own vomit. You get that lesson, I'll tell you what, you're going to understand a lot of stuff. That's exactly where you'll go in your own strength. You'll think you can cut a path and do your own deal and I'm going to make this work. You have no strength at all. When you realize that, that's when you'll get somewhere with God. That has got to be him. Praise his name. Thank the Lord for this. So, we have an assurance here, brothers and sisters. Again, this preparing the way. That he has prepared the way. And he's prepared the way in the word of his grace. He's given us everything. Here it is. Saturate yourself in this. Immerse yourself in this. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Understand this word of God. Then you won't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Then you won't come up against a foe and a giant in the land and go, oh my goodness, this one's just too great. You'll realize the purpose and the plan and that everything has already been laid out. That giant has already been slain. And it's done. I want to be like that mighty man that got all sad that all the giants were dead. Isn't that funny? I love that story about the mighty man. He said, oh, he was upset because there weren't any more giants to kill. We don't have that problem. All right? So let your hand meld to the sword. All right? Praise God. You know, and the Lord encourages in these things. But think of this, what Jesus promises us in Hebrews 7:25, which is so beautiful. And this is our Lord. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's his absolute purpose, is making intercession for this fella. Gives me such comfort. Absolute assurance. He's got me. He's not only got my back, he's in front. He's not only there, his hand's upon me. He's got me. He knows my thought afar off. He knows the frailty in this guy. And he's not going to test me beyond something that's going to destroy my life. Amen. That's the assurance of the Word of God. So we trust the Word of our Lord. That the plan, the purpose, the provision, everything there, the power, it's done. And merely by grace through faith, we are transformed into it. Once again, we are his workmanship. We are born kings, but by the grace of God, we need to grow up in it. Once again, as the Word of God does tell us very clearly, even though you're born a king, if you don't grow up in the knowledge of it, you're going to be nothing more than a servant in knowledge in the kingdom. Even though you were the one had the rightful heir and joint heir to rule jointly with him over the whole kingdom. That was all there. How we need to know our inheritance. Amen. I used to deal with people with that in business many times, and going through wills and trusts and different things of that nature. It always would, surprise me, but then it was like, well, this is no surprise. How little people know about their inheritance and how unprepared they are. And then they get to this point and then there's problems, or things were taken advantage of, or they didn't come into full heirship of it, or they didn't understand what they were going to receive. They didn't prepare, and it cost them. How much more so in the Word of God? It's all there. I mean, we're talking way beyond anything of this world could ever offer. And if you do believe in God, and you believe in the Bible, and in the Word of his grace, it says that the only thing that will endure forever is the Word of God. Lord, help us to want to pay attention to this. And thank the Lord, I think there's hope for us. We're at a Bible study. So that's a good thing. So we just thank God and trust him for it. But we do need to avail our ear to hear the Word of God. And I commend you. Praise God. Fight to get in. Like I was telling you about sister there. I thank the Lord. I remember her coming off that bus with those two kids. Little teeny weeny ones. No help, no nothing like that. And even some people from the church didn't help at all either, did they, honey? Well, if you don't bring them here on time, don't bring them here at all. Oh, my goodness. It's one of the few times I ever wanted to punch somebody in the church when I heard that one. And I'm not kidding you. But I thank God the Lord gave me a boldness too, said, she's coming anytime she wants. That's the only words of wisdom I ever spoke at 18 years old in my whole life. But that was God. That was God. So I'll just let you know that. But what a testimony it is. So his vision for us, his desire for us, he sees us fully grown. That's how he sees us. And any parent with any child sees that same thing too. You appreciate your child. You appreciate this young person. But you have a vision for them to grow up into every fiber of what they could be. And you think about what could be in the things of God. How much more so? And I thank the Lord. This is how he sees us, fully mature, the measure, the stature of a fully grown son of God. And here now is so much of the result of what we're talking about in this new Jerusalem, the Lamb's wife. So, again, this new Jerusalem is made and constructed completely of the vessels of the Lord for his glory. It's so wonderful. So, let's get back to Revelation 21, and let's read verse 15. And he that talked with me, now bringing this back again, remember this is one of the seven angels that's here with John. The seven angels, as we've seen throughout the study of Revelation, is that another vision of the company of the bride of Christ. We see the seven being that completion, that perfection. These seven angels have ruled and reigned with him all the way through Revelation. They've been blowing the trumpets. They've been calling out the different ones to do the different things all the way through the tribulation and through the millennial time. It's been wonderful to watch this. But now we're even past the millennial age. And here is this, again, the bride that's speaking to John. And it says, and he talked with me. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. So again, this angel, this bridal saint, literally rules and reigns with Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let's remember this again. A bridal saint has the message and ministers bridal truth. Amen. You notice that, remember we saw the innumerable multitude, right? And if you think about the innumerable multitude, that was the most of something that's in heaven. They're innumerable. And those were, again, the company of Christians that we saw that were not raptured at the first trump. I hear this oftentimes. Oh, we're all going up together. No, we're not. No, we're not. It didn't happen in the Old Testament. It's not going to happen in the New Testament. Every man in his own order, every man in his own rank. I know some people want to feel good about this, but I appreciated a sister saying, man's goodness and sometimes the good is the most deadly thing to God's best. Amen. And I'm not ashamed to say it. And I want to be bold for it. And you know what? There's a lot of people that distance themselves from me just because I preach the word of God. And it's not in pride. It's not in haughtiness. It's in passion. This is his purpose. Why would I not preach the purpose of the one who stretched out his hands and he took those nails in there and his feet and his pierced side and the bruising and the beating and the torn body more than anybody. And then he became sin for me who knew no sin. And I know this revelation, but yet God forbid I would hesitate one bit not to preach the whole counsel of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's the grace of God that is with us. There isn't any other gospel. That's Paul's gospel. That's Paul's heart. And I would be, let me be accursed if there was something that I brought. Oh, well, I've got another message. No, there is no other message. There's but one gospel. Listen to the word of God. I thank the Lord. Paul said, this is a mystery that was given to me. It was given to me, and not of men, it was of God. And it was a mystery that was hidden in ages past. It was hidden, even up till that moment. And it was given to Paul. Praise the Lord. I appreciated Peter and the encouragement of the Holy Ghost in his heart at the very end of 2 Peter. He said, you know that Paul? He said many things that were hard to be understood by them that wrestle with the scriptures. It wasn't hard, but I'll tell you what's hard about the word of God when you wrestle with the truth. That's why he always goes back to its faith like a child. My father said it, done. As I said, that's that. There's nothing else to talk about. I'm not going to argue about it. Dad said. I remember saying that even in the home. My dad would say something, brother said, oh no, no, dad said. That's it. The word of the Lord said, amen. So, we thank the Lord for this. But here we have this bridal saint, one of the seven angels of that seven angel company. not only, again, is visiting here, it says that he has the golden reed to measure. I mean, this is amazing here. The bride truly rules and reigns with Jesus Christ. The bride will judge with our Lord. It's so wonderful. And he wants that for you. He wants you to take that place with him. I get excited about this because this ministering is to this man personally. Now, this is more than a measurement, though, for dimensions of heaven. Even though we're going to get the dimensions, I should say, not of heaven, but of New Jerusalem. But this reed, it also has a dual meaning. It means written. And yes, the written word measures everything. Everything is going to be divided by the word. Everything is divided by the word. It divides all the way down through the bone, the joint, the marrow, to the very intent of a heart. The word of God. It's the written word. That's this reed, and I love that. And brothers and sisters, in the ages to come, there's not going to be anything else but the written word of God. And then you think about the wonder of this city. So this wonderful measuring, this reed, this golden, everything's perfect. The glory, hallelujah, the wealth, the royalty of this city. And this is emphasized so much to us right now, that we truly would take the word of his grace to be in the fullness of the measure and the stature of that perfect man, a full-grown son of God. Again, that bridal saint, this is the encouragement that he gives us. Then going on to verse 16. So, and the city lieth four square. The length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So, what we have here, brothers and sisters, are the dimensions of the city. So, to think about this, the city measured is a perfect cube. All right? Now, we've spoken about this New Jerusalem. Descends from heaven having the glory of God. Amen. We know that John was taken a short while ago to see this city descending. And what was God showing him of the city? I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And her, and she had the glory of God. And her light, it was just so wonderful, all of this encouragement here. But the Lord now has made the new heaven and the new earth. Let's remember that as well. So we have this new earth that the Lord has made. He's made new heaven. Because remember, when he presents his precious New Jerusalem, the bride, the Lamb's wife, there's not going to be not just presence of sin. Sin's going to be gone. It's over. That's why she's going to have nothing at all that will be defiled around her whatsoever. She's going to have with him a new earth and a new heaven. Because the old will flee away at the time of the end of the millennial time, as we have read. So, this perfect cube, this glorious city, descends from heaven. And it sits, and I'm confident that it's enjoined with this new earth. Because the inhabitants of the earth, again, these are the earth dwellers. These are the ones that, again, were not part of the church, that will be wonderfully in tune with the Lord. These will be the ones that, again, that the disciples ruled upon 12 thrones over the 12 tribes. All of that wonder, it says their glory, the kings of that earth, and we'll get to this, will go in through the gates of that city and bring the glory into that city. So there's going to be this exchange of the beautiful harmony and the glory of God that will go on forever and ever and ever and ever. And then it just gets even more exceeding in the riches of his grace in the forever. Okay, we got to shut that down because that just, you know, so we're out. We've got to stop there. All right. And eye is not seen nor ear heard, but we get a glimpse by his spirit, yea, the deep things of God. So let's get back to this New Jerusalem, which is golden. And it, matter of fact, it's gold that's transparent, but it's perfect. This cube speaks of perfect symmetry, strength, everlasting. And again, the 12,000 furlongs, the number 12 is divine government perfection. Now, we've seen that with Israel because that's what that 12 would represent. But there's a little more meaning as we go into studying about this city. So the city is a cube. Now, I want you to think about a cube. When you look straight on with a cube, you see basically the first thing. If you just saw it face on, you wouldn't see the three dimensions of it. You'd just see the front of it, which is a square, okay? Well, when you see a square, you think of four. It's got four sides. They're equal. It's got four corners. Well, if we remember what the number four is in the Word of God, it's human weakness. It's man's weakness. And how beautiful that the four is also the number of the cherubim. Those are the living ones. That's that bridal company again that you see. See, brothers and sisters, we'll never again, attain to that and apprehend that place if we don't recognize that we are completely weak without God, that we truly are his workmanship going forth in that magnificent grace. So that's the first thing that you see, in a sense, when you see this cube. But then, if you take this cube, and what's beautiful here is, now, again, this bridal thought about this cube. When you unfold a cube, now we're going back to geometry, so this should really scare you. You actually have six sides. Did you know that? So see, there's one, two, three. You've got the top, the bottom, and then four sides around. So six. Now think about in Revelation 4:8 when it was talking about the cherubim, the four living ones. Remember, each one looked like a lion, the next one looked like an ox, the next one looked like a man, and then the final one looked like an eagle. But it says when they opened up, they had wings. And how many wings did they have? They had six. So here's the six sides of a cube, and you think they have six wings, which is beautiful. But then it even goes on and it gets even more in type, because we do little number studies here. But if you think, there's a thing called a vertice, and a vertice is where the little lines intersect. So if you think about a cube, you've got four places on the top where they intersect and four places on the bottom. Those are called the vertices. So a cube has eight vertices. Well, what's the number of the bride? It's eight, where it all comes together. So you even have that bride. And then once again, the number 12 over all of it, which is that governmental perfection. You think about that. That governmental perfection, divine, is never going to happen until Jesus Christ has his wife. And I thank God for that. And just the testimony, again, just little bits and pieces as you go through there. But it was encouraging my heart just looking at the beauty of the city. And again, all of the type and shadow and demonstration of the love for his wife and that bride. And I am glorying today even a little bit more to see how beautiful she is to him. Now let's talk about the size of the city. This is an immense city. It's amazing. Because if you just took one side of this city and you laid it on the map of the United States of America, you'd get two-thirds of the United States. But remember, this is a cube. So if you put that cube and you stuck it on a map of the United States, you'd get probably all the way from Maine all the way through, say, Colorado. Okay? Boom. But it's a cube. It's three-dimensional. So it doesn't just go this way. It goes this way. And it comes across. So you have, again, this vast amount of space. I just thought this was kind of interesting. In this cube of the city, there's 3.375 cubic billion miles of space. And it's immense. Now, again, we're not confined to that, but that's the Lord's New Jerusalem. Just think how big that thing is. I mean, it's huge. It goes up 1,500 miles high. You know, we think 1,500 miles is nothing. That's almost 80 million feet. Where's that? At the moon? You know what I'm saying? But I just think of how glorious and beautiful and incredible this structure is in so many ways. But just the immensity of the city. But more than all of that, remember that. This is all, as it enjoins to the earth, these are all the ranks of all the believers throughout the history of the earth that makes up this whole thing. Now, I got to tell you, in a lot of ways, I don't understand that. But I think, what detail and incredible detail of explanation of what the Lord's talking about. And I just sit there and I said, oh, Lord, what is all this? People think they're going to get bored in heaven. Don't be a nut. It's incredible to think of this spectacular beauty. But the best of all about the city is that the Lamb, again, the Lamb, hallelujah, is the light thereof. So we thank God again that they light it up together, he and his wife, which is so cool and amazing and beyond. So how wonderful. Verse 17. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Now, this is beautiful as it speaks once again. We're back to the wall, all right? But this wall, as we see, is 144,000. It's beautiful. 12,000 out of every tribe, sealed and raptured. And these, again, this 144,000 were those that were witness to, those Jews that were witness to and received the blood and even the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So it's so wonderful because these, the 144,000 that were saved in the first half of the tribulation, they are the ones that represent the five wise virgins that had oil in their lamps. That's why they were able to go to the wedding feast. And we're so thankful to God that, again, here they are on display as the precious wall of the city. Notice it's not a wall, walls, but it's a wall of the city. And there's something really subtle here that's really wonderful that the Lord brought out to my heart. Literally, I want you to hear how this literally reads, word for word. And he measured its wall 144 cubits, the measure of a man, that is, of the messenger. So you're thinking, okay, why did he read that again? Well, what it's telling us here again is the angel is a man. Once again, it's giving us reference that this angel, as the angels had to correct John, and will once again have to correct John, because John keeps bowing down and worshiping the angel. And as the angel lifts him up and says, John, don't do that again, because I'm just as one of you, I'm redeemed. So he's saying the measure of man as me. The angel, that's that cubic, which is the measurement of the forearm. But again, it's just more proof that this isn't the angel. An angel is, again, people would say, oh, the angels are with you, which are wonderful things. But this again, is a redeemed saint. And it's just beautiful to see so many angles of the revelation of who and what this company is and what it means to the Lord. Let's go ahead to verse 18 and we'll... I think we're almost fully saturated right now, so we'll go to verse 18 and we'll throttle down a little bit after that, okay? All right, and the building of the wall, now we're back to the wall again, was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Now, this again is so beautiful, because it's speaking of this wall again, but it's speaking of the wall now in reference to the city. Specifically, now we're talking about the material of the wall. Now, what is this? What is the material of the wall here? It's jasper. What have we been rejoicing about the jasper? We've only seen two ones that are referred to as the jasper: Jesus Christ and the bride. They're the jasper. So here we have now the wall. It says is this jasper. After we saw the wall being 144,000. So you're thinking of this. Now, wait a second. Why is the wall said as jasper? Well, it's because, let's be reminded again, that this wall is the surrounding or the covering or the adornment of the Lamb's wife, who is the glorious city. Let's go right back to Revelation 19, 7 and 8. We'll close out with this, okay? This thought. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So here is another type of a different vision of it. Here we have the bride, the Lamb's wife, with a wedding gown. We see that. Amen. Well, here we have another vision of it. It's not a wedding gown. It's a wall. It's the city that is around her, that's built around her, which she is the glory with him of that city and the light thereof. Isn't that just incredible? And I love as the Lord continues to encourage us in this. Now think about what we just read and remember going back to our studies here in Revelation 19 and especially verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. That white, remember, was the lampros white. That lampros is only used on clothing of two people in the Word of God, and that's Jesus and his wife. So when it's referring to her, the wall that is her garment, it's no longer the leukos white, which is a glorious white. When it's on her, it's the lampros white. It's that brilliant, glorious, incredible, because it's her garment. That's why when we see the wall in this vision, you're seeing it as her garment. Stay with it. This is, I just think it just builds even more beautiful as you go on here a little bit with this. So the material of the wall is the leukos white, Christ's very own glorious white. She is clothed with the righteousness of saints. Now here it is. And I was meditating on this, and the Spirit encouraged my heart. If everything of his is hers, if it truly is shared, why would not the glory of the body of Christ not be her glory as well? She's clothed with the righteousness of saints. In type, it's similar. You see what I'm saying? Let me read that once again, because you just encouraged my heart so clearly in this. If everything of his is hers, remember our study in Esther and all these, you know, what's mine is yours, honey. We share in this. That's what jointly glorified together with him is. Glorified the same, all right? If it truly is shared, why would not the glory of the body of Christ not be her glory as well? He shares that with her. It's glorious. Again, as you just sit there and go, my, oh my. Going back to Scott encouraging us the other night in that word adoption. Boy, what he saw for us in him. Amen. So, the city is pure gold, the glory, the royalty, and such fine gold that it's transparent. And notice as we close this, as we go back to verse 18. It says it was pure gold. And these little details are very exciting as you can, like I say, this isn't a one-time Bible study. You got to go back and listen. Get your Bible out. Go get your Strong's Concordant out. Let the Spirit minister this stuff because it's incredible. It really is. Every detail of this. This is your love letter. Have you ever been in love with somebody that sent you a love letter? Like I told you, you didn't read the thing one time. It's, you know, I didn't get it out of the mailbox when Polly had sent it to. Whoa, that was great. No, I mean, I read it. You know, what's in there? How much does she really love me? You know, how much does he really love you? That's why he wants you to get in here. Study this. Let the Spirit speak this to you. The city, this pure gold, it's so wonderful. The word pure is the same word that you'll see in Revelation. It'll be presented as clean. It's the same word in the Greek. You'll find that word in Revelation 15:6, 19:8, and 19:14. Whenever you see that in Revelation, it speaks of her garments. So it's always speaking of her garments. And again, that she's clothed in this. So even though we're speaking of a wall and the city and all of the structure, the focus is still on the glory of that city. The glory descending from heaven. And yes, that's her having the glory of God. It's tremendous, brothers and sisters. And no matter how you look at that city, one thing too, being transparent, you can see into it. What's in there? the lamb. What's in there? His wife. He loves her. I know that is quite a bit tonight. But I do rejoice with you. And may we all, like that cow underneath the tree, go chew that cud. Burp it up and go chew that cud. All right. I love you. Let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed.